All right, hockey fans, listen up, because we've got something special cooked up for playoff season. It's called the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge, and it's going to add some serious spice to your playoff experience. Now, here's the deal. Every playoff game, you're going to be faced with a handful of questions. It's like your own personal playoff puzzle, and it's free to join. And there are prizes, because who doesn't love winning stuff? Daily winners, you're getting hooked up with gift cards. Treat yourself to some nation gear or maybe even your favorite jersey. And for the big dogs, the people who can win an entire round, it's straight, cold, hard cash. We're talking about real dough for your hockey knowledge. So lace up those skates, stretch those thumbs, and get ready to show off your hockey IQ in the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge. Sign up today and play every game day at games.dailyfaceoff.com and prove your puck prowess.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 5% off your first purchase with code REBAGNEW. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAGNEW for 5% off your first purchase.
Welcome in to Daily Faceoff Live, your go-to source for everything hockey, live every weekday at noon Eastern.
Welcome into a Thursday edition of Daily Faceoff Live. As always, streaming live on the Daily Faceoff YouTube. I'm Tyler Yaremchuk, and my co-host today is Frank Saravelli. Frank Saravelli's back on the show. What's up, Frank?
Yes. First show since the deadline. Took a break last week. I was off. And then these first 3 days this week at the GM meetings. And I think those were the longest I've ever gone between Daily Faceoff Live shows in the 3 years we've been doing this. So happy to be back. Let's go.
Yeah, good to have you back. As always, the show is brought to you by Betano. The game starts now at betano.ca, your home for maybe a little NCAA tournament action. Frank, you a March Madness guy?
Huge March Madness guy. I'm actually in a block pool for March Madness. All 63 games are on the pool. So it's the squares. The possibilities are endless.
That is good. I got my bracket right here. I'm still old school. I print it off every year so I can go through it with a highlighter and then cross out the teams that screw me over. It's a great sports time of the year, Frank. You can get in on all the action at betano.ca. But let's get into the hockey talk. We're going to have a new edition of Icebreakers later on in the show where you'll empty your notebook from the GM meetings. But as always, we got to start with the playoff race, Frank, and a couple of big L's last night in the NHLs. Both the Washington Capitals and the Minnesota Wild went through big losses. Like, we're talking not even close here, Frank. The Wild get smoked by the Kings. The Leafs get the best of the Capitals. So let me just ask you, which team's playoff chances took the bigger hit last night? The Wild, obviously, you know, they're that next team in the West, but a ways to go against LA. For Washington, while they're in a better position than the Wild, every loss in a crowded Eastern Conference playoff race feels detrimental.
It certainly is. I mean, to make no mistake, it's crushing for both teams. I'm going to say it hurts worse for the Wild, and here's why. If it's a momentum killer, number one, and two, they only play one time in the next 8 days. So you see the Wild, they're currently in that top spot outside of the playoffs. Their next game is Saturday against the Blues, and then they don't play again until the following Thursday. So if they lose against the Blues, that has the Blues jumping them 77-76. And then more than that, by the time the next 5 days roll around after that, they're probably going to sink like a stone in the standings, depending on what else happens around them. So that was a tough one. And to be out of it so early, Marc-Andre Fleury pulled after 5 goals against. That hurts. And it's been such an odd season in Washington. Let me throw this stat at you that I saw courtesy of Tom Galitti of NHL.com. He said that was the Caps' 26th regulation loss of the season. 21 of them have been by 3 goals or more. So I know that the big knock on the Caps and their push for the playoffs has been goal differential. It's been what's been tagged on them pretty much the entirety of these last few weeks. But you get a game like last night, and it's kind of just a reminder when they're losing, they're not even close.
Yeah, there's only 5 teams in the league who have a worse goal differential than the Washington Capitals. And you see the playoff picture in the Eastern Conference right there. They're still tied based on points percentage with the Detroit Red Wings. So, you know, all hope is definitely not lost in Washington. If you want to have a little bit of hope for the Minnesota Wild, there's one thing. It's your 2 head-to-head games against the Vegas Golden Knights. It will basically be the equivalent of 2 game sevens to keep their season alive. 1 in Vegas, 1 in Mini. Just quickly as we wrap up what went down last night, Ovi scores twice for the Capitals. He's on pace for 29 now. It's been back-to-back 2 goal efforts for the Grade 8. Austin Matthews, he registered a 5-point night. He had a couple of goals in the game as well. His pace is now up to 68.9 on the season. So Matthews continuing his chase for 70 goals. That was the 24th 5-point game a player has put up this season in the NHL. There were only 20 in all of last season.
Oh, 51. 51 goals away for Alex Ovechkin from the record.
51. Someone DM'd me the other day and they were like, oh man, do you think the NHL is going to look ahead to the schedule and try to pinpoint a really good matchup somewhere? Like, will they give halfway through at the end of next year, like a Pittsburgh game, then like a game in Edmonton maybe or something like that? There's no way they're looking that far ahead.
It would be impossible to pinpoint. I would call it a fool's errand, especially with the way that Ovechkin started this season, to think that you could map out what that schedule would look like and try and plan it out. I mean, I think the only hope for the Caps is that there's a string of home games in that span where he has a chance to do it.
Yeah. Frank, one of the themes emerging this year in the hockey world, comebacks. Cody Hodgson made a great return to the American League. He's scoring goals down in Milwaukee. I think it was last week, 10 days ago, where Josh Hosang dropped a mixtape and then signed a contract in the East Coast League, or in the ECHL, my apologies. And then yesterday we got the news that Akeem Alou is the latest player looking to make a comeback. Now, he only played in 7 career NHL games. The last one was way back in 2012-2013 with the Calgary Flames. He did play in 245 career American League games. And the last time he played pro hockey was actually all the way back in the 2019-20 season. But he joins the Sharks organization. Frank, I guess, kind of what's the end goal here? Is Alou looking to maybe crawl back and get back to the NHL? Or is this just something where he wants to play pro hockey again?
No, I mean, the goal is to make it all the way back to the top. I don't think I actually asked this question of Cody Hodgson when I had him on Frankly Speaking a couple weeks ago. By the way, great story, and his the pod with his medical condition is entirely fascinating. So different set of circumstances here. Not a disease that kept Akeem Alou off the ice. It's actually his body just hasn't cooperated, partly. I think he's up to 12 surgeries since he stopped playing. Tons of rehab along the way. And he's someone that throughout this entire process, whether it was playing in Czechia or the second league in Sweden or whatever it might be, the goal has always been to get back to the NHL, and there really hasn't been a path for him to do so. So he spent the last number of years really working on his body, trying to get his knee in particular right. And he wants a chance to at least just see what he can do. And as he mentioned in his Insta or his post on Twitter and social media, if this is it, if he ends up, it not working out, that he's gone out on his own terms. And I think that was a big driving force, is that no one really gets a chance to, you know, unless you're the elite of the elite, a chance to take a step back and say, you know what, hey, I'm not gonna, I'm gonna call my own shot. Most of the time you're forced out. And I think it's even worse when you feel like your body has kept you out. And on top of that, as we know, with the, some of the different things that have popped up, including his, you know, the racial slurs that were thrown at him by Bill Peters, like there's been a lot of things that have happened along the way where I think he just wanted an opportunity to really be able to answer all of the questions in his own mind. Can I do this? Is anyone standing in my way? And he's now gotten a chance with the San Jose Barracuda and the AHL to at least answer some of those questions. And so he's arrived in San Jose. I think he's scheduled to do some media today to shed some more light on his story. But comeback season is here, and Akeem Aliyu getting a chance. I mean, look, if you put in that much time and effort, that many surgeries, that much time rehabbing in the gym and on the ice and on the trainer's table, you know, I'm all for you to get a shot to call your own shot.
I like the end of the statement he put out on Twitter and social media where he says, however things turn out, I am assured and at peace with one thing, that my 9-month-old son will get to see me play and will always know daddy never gave up and never stopped dreaming. So all the best to Akeem as he looks, or as he embarks on the comeback journey. Frank, this morning,
quick thing of news just to pass along, the Calgary Flames sending out a statement today announcing that goalie Dan Vladar is having season ending hip surgery next week. The rehab period will allow for him to be ready for the start of next season. And Jacob Markstrom is also ready to return. So it'll be Markstrom and Dustin Wolf for the rest of the year for the Calgary Flames in net. And by the way, I have a story with Craig Conroy, the Flames GM, up on dailyfaceoff.com this morning. A little surprise there that the Flames might be players in the free agent market. Not all that often you hear a retooling or rebuilding team say that's the case, but the goaltending and what happens next on the Markstrom front will be a big part of that.
14 games to go for the Calgary Flames this season. I would imagine we see a healthy amount of Dustin Wolf down the stretch now with that Vladar news. Frank, another thing that was popping off on hockey Twitter, or hockey X, I suppose, was a video involving Nick Foligno and Blackhawks rookie defenseman Kevin Korchinski. Now, at first glance, when you don't have the context, you're kind of like, whoa, what's going on here? Are tempers flaring in Chicago as they continue to sit near the basement of the NHL and wind down the season as you see the two of them exchanging blows? But then you get the context and it's, no, this was a box out drill. This was a battle drill. And I love this from Foligno at the end, really banging his stick, goes and gives Kevin Korchinski a big fist bump. And you just sit and watch this. And I think there are so many great lessons to be pulled from this, from Foligno to this young Blackhawks team. This is a guy who's got his 2-year extension. He's got his, whatever it is, $9 million in the bag. He's fought through a bunch of injuries to keep his career alive at this point. It's game 70-whatever for the Hawks of another miserable bottom-of-the-barrel season. And yet this guy's still going out there, busting his ass in practice and setting a good example for the kids. I think, again, $9 million in the next 2 years against the cap, but having this guy around is honestly invaluable.
I couldn't agree more. And I would say that the most impressive part of it is not just the compete in practice, but after, like, I'm sure you saw banging the stick on the boards and celebrating the battle. It'd be so easy for someone 36, as you mentioned, 1,200 games into his NHL career, getting speed bagged in practice against a guy who's an up and comer, young guy that's a high draft pick, you know, putting him on his RSAT times in a lost season, playing out the string to be pissed and be like, I'm not dealing with this. No one's going to push me around in practice as a vet after all this time. You know, get a clue. That's not how this is going to work. And I love that he's celebrating it. So I couldn't agree more. I wanted to make that a topic today to talk about exactly that, that this is the type of culture that I think you need to have in order to be successful in the NHL. This is why the Blackhawks signed him to a 2-year extension. Yes, they need to spend money on their cap. They need to get to the floor. Yes, they need warm bodies, but it has to do also with the right players that you're bringing in. And you see a clip like that and you know why Foligno is one. And if you really want to have some fun, Scott Powers also put out another clip that shows Connor Bedard in the same drill. So good.
Yeah, he is going through, I think, the Western Road Swing right now. Are the Chicago Blackhawks are in California right now. But yeah, Foligno's impact, I mean, again, you can look at the numbers, do whatever, but it's off the ice. It's in the room where you see it. And I think the mistake a lot of rebuilding teams do sometimes when they go the path of the Blackhawks is you rip it down to the studs and you don't keep good foundational pieces around. I applaud the Hawks for doing that with Foligno and the other guys in that room. Frank, we are firmly in the final month of the regular season, so we're going to continue with our awards talk. Yesterday, Carter Hutton and I talked a little bit about the Hart Trophy race. Today, I want to look at the Jack Adams. And when you look at the betting odds board, Rick Tockett is running away with this thing, minus 500, not even worth putting the money on it. Paul Maurice, plus 800. You go down, though. I wanted to talk about the guy at 24-1. Honestly, I kind of want to talk about both of the guys at 24-1, but Tortorella and Brunette. When you compare them to what Tockett's done in Vancouver, and I know there's been, you know, the cultural reset with Tockett's arrival in Van and the impact he's had in the locker room and all of that. But when you look at what John Tortorella has been able to do with the roster he has in Philadelphia, and again, I know the whole Couturier thing made headlines this week and is still making headlines today, but do you feel like maybe some of these names lower down, like a Tortorella or a Brunette, aren't getting enough love in the Jack Adams talk?
No.
Okay.
I mean, look, if Rick Tockett doesn't win the Jack Adams this year for a non-playoff team last year challenging for the President's Trophy, you might as well not give one out. One name I'm surprised to not see on the board is Spencer Carberry. Because you look at Washington amid the goal differential, amid what is clearly not a very talented roster, to be working and competing as hard as they have, that's a great story. The Rangers have set a franchise record for most days in first place in a season in their division. And I think the Tortorella story is great, but you get to this week and I'm sorry, but you're losing me. Like, we talked about it on the DFO rundown today. I think the best way for me to describe the Sean Couturier scratch is unnecessary. There were other players that you could have picked that have played worse than Couturier, who's won a Selke trophy and was named captain of your team 34 days ago, that didn't need to come to this. It didn't need to be a shit show for these last few days and a circus. And I think more than anything, this coach that demands accountability seemingly has none and is responsible to no one to answer questions about it, because he started off his thing today again in Carolina after their win against the Leafs by saying, "I'm not talking about Sean." Well, is he in the lineup? Is he not? What's the situation here? And why do you think that after all this time, you don't feel like your fan base and frankly, your own player and captain doesn't feel like he deserves an explanation? Because as in his own words, he kind of seems like he hasn't been given one. It's a strange situation. As well as the Flyers have played being in a playoff spot and as hard as they've worked, I know 1 week or one move, one roster move, which they won, by the way, can't determine the whole thing. But this one just, no, I'm sorry. No.
All right. Fair enough. I like that you brought up Spencer Carberry. I think Andrew Brunette deserves a lot of love for what he's done with that Nashville team. They're above.
Why no Chris Knobloch? Like, why is he? I mean, they're the best team in the league since he took over, and by a wide margin, 740 points percentage, and the next closest team in that span is at 690. Why is he not being talked about?
See, and for someone who, you know, watches every game, follows the team closely, I was always of the mind that they were going to turn it around anyways, regardless of who the head coach was. So I think that.
What if it did? I mean, there are no guarantees. What if that didn't happen? And it only didn't. It only started to happen after the coaching change was made.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, they did come out and they won their last game with Jay Woodcroft, but they came out under Knobloch and won that next game with him behind the
winning streaks that they've had. I don't know why that isn't a topic of conversation more in the Jack Adams race.
Point is, I think there's a bit of a conversation. Like, again, yeah, it deserves to be right up near the top. I was just surprised to see that little bit of separation. I feel like there are a lot of other deserving candidates this year. You mentioned Knobloch, I think a couple others. Anyways, we'll continue the awards conversation over the next couple of shows as well. But for now, let's get to our big segment. It's a new edition of Icebreakers. Icebreakers is delivered by DoorDash, 25% off and zero delivery fees on your first order of $15 or more. That sounds good. All you need to do is download the DoorDash app and enter the promo code NATION25. Offer valid for a limited time to our listeners in Canada. Frank, you were out at the GM meetings this week, so let's dig into what was and also maybe what wasn't said. And that is really true when you look at the situation around the Arizona Coyotes. Commissioner Gary Bettman didn't say much about the future of the Yotes, but again, what's more interesting is what he didn't say.
Yeah, and that part to me is really what I've keyed in on over the last 24 to 48 hours. There's certainly a lot happening behind the scenes with the Coyotes. Now, let me be abundantly clear when I say this. I think the NHL's preference, when it's all said and done, is for this arena situation to be sorted out and that the team remains in Arizona. They've been committed to that market for feels like 2 decades now, with all the work that they've done to keep that franchise propped up. That said, we're reaching the end of the rope, and I don't think they have a ton of faith in this ownership group, and this is my opinion, based on some of the information that we've received from behind the scenes, that getting to this auction date in June will ultimately be successful. Remember, they were up for a referendum in Tempe, and everyone was thinking, this is a slam dunk, no chance that the Coyotes lose this vote, and they did. And they've been forced to consider some alternate realities since then. And so really the big thing for me is the league had an opportunity to come out this week at the GM meetings and say definitively, the Arizona Coyotes are going to be remaining in Mullet Arena next season, regardless of whatever happens with this vote, because they did acknowledge that with, you know, potentially this auction, being held, I think sometime in the June 10th range, no official date set yet, that they don't really have enough time to pivot and relocate that team for next season. So if you don't have enough time to pivot and relocate, then why not just come out and say they're remaining? My point is they're working on a ton of contingencies behind the scenes to potentially move this team for next season in Salt Lake City, regardless of even potentially them getting to that auction date.
So if there is still a chance, like you're saying, that the Coyotes still move, and you mentioned maybe some things behind the scenes that need to be figured out, what are some of the steps, or maybe a better word to use, what are some of the hurdles that the league would face in this process?
Well, that's the part that the league is actually sorting through themselves right now. What machinations does the league have to essentially wrestle back control of this franchise if that's what they want to do? The point that has been driven home with me and speaking to many close to the situation in Arizona is that Alex Mariello, their owner, is not just confident, but has also been somewhat combatant in this issue in that he's fully believing that he's going to get this arena deal done, that he's going to win the auction, that he's going to get steel and shovels in the ground to finally build this arena for the Coyotes. I think the league is less convinced, and they're looking through their constitution. They're examining their legal options of what can we do in this case if we want to take back control of this franchise. My understanding would be part of it would be to make Alex Mariello and this ownership group whole. With every dollar that he spent to this point, not just the fee to buy the franchise, but also the debt service that they've had, the checks that they've been writing to underwrite the franchise. There's a lot that goes into that. And then essentially take back control of the team to then acquire, have Ryan Smith from Salt Lake City come in and acquire the franchise with a significant relocation fee, which could then be distributed to a lot of the other owners around the league. I believe it would be 29 of them. Take out Arizona and take out the two most recent additions. I don't think they get a share. A significant sum of money. So that's the league's interest in doing so. The big question is, one, can they do it? Two, will there be a fight? Three, do they have the stomach for it? Or is it better to just see if the Coyotes essentially succeed or fail on their own before then going through the next step in the process and dealing with this on the other end? So then the next part of this would be, well, what happens with Arizona? Let's say they do decide to pull up stakes and somehow they work out a deal to relocate this team to Salt Lake City. What happens with the market? There's still big believers in the market. I think, and this is my opinion, that there would be some component to whatever happens next, where within the next 5 years or so, they then have the ability to bring an expansion franchise to Arizona, either with the same ownership or new ownership and a new arena already in place that they can essentially start fresh. Though that's been some of the thought process that's been explained to me as to some of the contingencies and what's been going on behind the scenes. All of it unofficial, of course, but I think it's important that everyone knows, hey, the league is, they're paddling underwater here to try and understand the situation and put their arms around it over these next, you know, 60 to 75 days.
And again, just to reiterate what you said off the top, if they wanted to come out and squash this, they very easily this week could have said, we are committed to the Coyotes staying at Mullet Arena again next season. Because regardless of how the land auction goes, that's where they're going to be. They can't pop up an arena in 2 months somewhere else in Arizona or in Phoenix. So interesting stuff with the Coyotes, as always. Let's move off of that and on to a couple of four-letter words, Frank. LTIR and e-bug. Why are these two being brought up, and which one could we see action on first?
Well, they're being brought up because they're two kind of hot button issues. At least LTIR was heading into the GM meetings. Both of these things are actually also CBA issues. So if you asked me which one will be addressed first, my money would be on LTIR. I think there's, you know, relatively easy ways to address this. And Ken Holland a couple years ago came to the meeting essentially just saying, why not just have a cap in place for your game night roster when it comes to the playoffs? Not an active daily counting, so to speak, but you can't ice a lineup that isn't cap compliant based on the total dollars that everyone would have available to them. That would seem to be the easiest fix. The big question that the league wants to know is this actually a problem, or are these different unique circumstances that pop up throughout the course of seasons where, whether it's Vegas or Tampa or whoever it might be, teams like to cry foul when really there actually is a bona fide injury. So with both of these scenarios, they're going to take it back to the managers and have a larger sort of poll, so to speak, to really take their temperature to say, do you really think this is an issue and what should we do about it? And both of them in this case would require some bargaining with the NHLPA. But I think it's possible that by the summertime, we see some sort of options presented where both of these things could kind of be nipped in the bud.
If you want to hear more of Frank's takes on all three of these issues, a new episode of the DFO Rundown is available wherever you get your podcast from. Frank and Jason Greger dug into all three of these with a little bit more detail earlier on the pod. That's a wrap on another edition of Icebreakers delivered by DoorDash. Take advantage of the new Double Dash feature, which allows you to add a second stop onto your order for zero extra delivery fees. Dash that for the win with DoorDash. Frank, it's the Ask DFO inbox question, and it's brought to you by Tim Hortons. Roll Up the Rim to Win is back for Tim's 60th anniversary. And to celebrate their big year, you can win some big prizes. The all-electric Volkswagen ID4, sun-soaked Hilton getaways, and cash with a daily jackpot of $10,000. Roll Up the Rim, play today on the Tim's app. Frank, I want to bring you to this play from last night in the NHL. Tom Wilson was given a four-minute double minor for high sticking, and I can't quite wrap my head around why your stick would ever need to swing that way. I feel like he should get a game or two for this. Do you agree or disagree with that?
I wholeheartedly agree. You have to be in complete control of your stick. For someone that has a long rap sheet and suspension history, although not for this, what's the excuse? It certainly seems like retaliation, and he's actually looking at, it seems like he's looking for an official at the time that the slash happens, as if to say, like, oops, I maybe shouldn't have done that. But I don't, when you, as I said off the top, you have to be in control of your stick at all times. It's really not that difficult.
Yeah, that one was. And then for him to be doing the whole, like, oh, are you okay thing to Noah Greger? It's like, dude, you swung your stick at head length. Like, yeah.
No one does that to Noah Greger.
Our producer Gavin says Wilson's ready for MLB season. Yes, the Major League Baseball season kicking off with a couple of games in Seoul earlier this week. Let's move along to our daily bets for the day, brought to you by Betano. I got a handful that I want to dig into over on the site. So let's flash one up here. The St. Louis Blues are road dogs against the Ottawa Senators. Ottawa, you know, they're one game over 500 at home this year, but this is a St. Louis team that should be hungry. I like the plus money price point on a team that's just been flat out more consistent than the other this year. So I like this Blues play. But this next one is one that I absolutely love on the NHL slate. It's the Jets at minus 125. They are road favorites, but the Jets have been a really damn good road team this year. 21-13 straight up on the road. You compare that to the Devils, who at home are under 500 straight up. So give me the Jets at minus 125 on the money line as they roll into New Jersey. And then to wrap it up, the ever popular shot prop parlay. Over 1.5, I got Adam Fox, who I bet on earlier this week, and he came through for me, and Jason Zucker. Both these guys have hit it in 4 of their last 5. For Zucker, it's been 4 of 5 since joining the Preds, and in every game where he's hit it, it's been 3 or more shots on goal. So when he hits it, he crushes it. I like this one tonight at plus 148. And that brings us to garbage time. Frank, it's brought to you by Wendy's in the Daily Faceoff Survivor Pool. You haven't been on the show, so we haven't been able to hear how you're doing in the pool.
I'm an idiot. I actually won day one and then was traveling, obviously, at GM meetings, just totally forgot and didn't put in a pick for day two. So sometimes, I mean, I've been my own worst enemy all season this year, but sometimes you really get in your own way.
The most popular option on this one is Connor McDavid over 1.5 points. 53% of the pool is on it. Jason Greger pointed this out today over at Oilers Nation. McDavid's worst career points per game against an individual team is actually against the Buffalo Sabres. For whatever reason, he doesn't light them up. I will say he's due. The numbers would say he struggles against Buffalo. Daily Faceoff Survivor Pool.
Brought he's been hot.
Brought to you by Wendy's, home of the 349 Nugget Edition. Put that right next to your Baconator. That's a great combo right there. Frank, garbage time today. Brandon Dubinsky was on with our friends from Morning Cup of Hockey, and he sounded off on John Tortorella. Want to give this some love. Let's take a listen.
I know the way John works. Couturier is going to play tonight. I hope he goes out there, and I hope everyone calls me an asshole because Couturier goes out there and scores two. And even though, you know, he plays for the Flyers, I've hated the Flyers forever. You know, I hope he goes out there and has a good game, and then everyone can tell me I'm an idiot and that John, you know, John's the smartest guy in the world. That's fine with me. That means the player got what he needed and played well. But I'll go back. You know, I don't care. Like, it was such bullshit. Like, you don't scratch your captain a month after naming him. The guy, I can promise you, the guy didn't win a Selke trophy and had the success he's had because he goes out there and floats in practice or goes out and parties like a monster when he shouldn't be. He takes care of himself and you know, he's a team first guy. So I thought the scratch was bullshit because, you know, like I said, I don't think it's a selfish player, especially your captain. So I stand by the fact that I think that it was a chicken shit move and stupid. But like I said, hopefully everyone can bitch at me because he goes out there and has a good game tonight and everyone will tell me how smart Torts is.
I like the honesty from Brandon Dubinsky. And also, I would like to be wherever he is with the palm trees in the background, Frank, but Dubinsky didn't mince his words.
I was just there. Saw lots of palm trees this week. Yeah, look, I think I sounded off on John Tortorella already. My thing is, you have to communicate. And not answering questions from the media, okay, fine. Not telling your player or explaining more, and Sean Couturier feeling like after winning a Selke and being with the Flyers for 10 plus years now, like he isn't being treated right 34 days after being named a captain. I just think you owe people more than that, and it feels hypocritical. So you want to hold people to account? Fine. Then you should also be held accountable yourself.
All right, that is a wrap on today's edition of the show. We went long, but it was the return of Frank Saravalli, and he'll still be here tomorrow. Don't worry. So will Stephen Ellis with the new edition of The Next Wave. Big shout out to everyone over in the YouTube chat as well. Make sure you hit that subscribe button before you close the window, and we'll chat with you again tomorrow at noon Eastern.
Thanks for tuning in to Daily Faceoff Live. Make sure you hit the subscribe button to never miss an episode.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about United Healthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
All right, hockey fans, listen up because we've got something special coming your way this playoff season. It's called the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge, and let me tell you, it's going to add some serious spice to your playoff experience. Now, here's the deal. Every playoff game day, you're going to be faced with four questions. It's like your own personal playoff puzzle. And here's a sneak peek into some of those questions we'll be firing your way. First up, you got to pick the winning team. That sounds simple, right? But there's more. You got to decide if the total amount of goals in the game will be over or under a certain amount, and that's where the real strategy starts to kick in. Next up, you're picking who's going to find the back of the net first, and you're going to want to be careful because that's one that could be cooked early on in the game. And finally, you got to predict which period is going to be the highest scoring. Will it be a barn burner in the first, a shootout in the second, or a nail biter in the third? That's up to you to decide. Now let's talk about prizes, because who doesn't love winning stuff? For the daily winners, you're getting hooked up with gift cards to treat yourself to some fresh Nation gear, and you might even win a jersey from your favorite team. And for the big dogs, those who can win an entire round, it's straight, cold, hard cash. We're talking real dough for your hockey knowledge. So lace up those skates, stretch those thumbs, and get ready to show off your hockey IQ in the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge. Play now at games.dailyfaceoff.com and prove your puck prowess.